Whose motorcycle is this?
It's a chopper, baby.
Whose chopper is this?
Zed's.
Who's Zed?
Zed's dead, baby. Zed's dead.
Welcome to episode 7 of Cinema Crespo Diso. Yes, episode 7 is
episode
here.
Episode 7 already.
That is wild.
Dude, that's 7 weeks. That's almost 2 months.
It just time flies,
it
man.
It really does.
Time flies. It is me, your host, Christopher Crespo, film critic, writer, dude who does other things, inquire for details. With me, as always, is co-host number 2 man, the Ed McMahon to my... Johnny Carson, Drewster Cogburn. How's it going, Drew?
Doing okay. How you doing, Chris?
Doing good, man. Doing good. It's Oscar night. Oscars are tonight. The 85th Annual Academy Awards. You know, kind of like the Super Bowl for movies if art was competitive.
Yeah.
But it's
exactly.
Not.
Exactly. Well, I mean, I guess maybe art could be competitive.
It's the movies have been turned competitive, I mean, commercially and now through awards. So.
Exactly.
Pretty ridiculous.
I agree.
We'll talk more about the Oscars later on in the Crespo Dome, because that's what the Crespo Dome is for talking about different things. But in the meantime, let's go ahead and get into our show format. As always, we're going to do the box office results from this weekend, and then we'll talk about the new movies on DVD and in theaters coming out, and then we'll go into the Crespo Disco and see what's going on in there. But first, let's do the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week.
Oh, the Crespo Diso Randomizer 9000.
Randomizer 9000. Random. Make sure it's good and random in there. All these picks. Here we go, Drew, if you'll do the honor, sir, and reach in there and let us know what is this week's Netflix Instant Pick of the Week.
This week's Netflix Instant Pick of the Week is Flame and Citrone.
Flame and Citrone.
Which I have seen, and it is very, very good.
Flame and Citrone is from a few years ago. It's a Danish film, and it is about specifically the Nazi invasion and occupation of... Well, yeah, I guess it was invasion. Occupation of Denmark,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
And how about a bunch of the Danes there capitulated and let the Nazis do what they wanted in turn for, you know, not killing them all. But then some Danes, like, they had the underground resistance going, and they were trying to fight the Nazis from the underground bunkers and whatnot, basements and rooftops. It's about two guys. Their operative names were Flame and Citrone, because one dude has a redhead, and the other guy's a blonde. Citrone Lemon.
Yeah.
Citron vodka. And it's pretty much about how badass these two dudes were fighting the Nazis.
And they very much are badass.
It's a pretty good movie. Kind of dour, a little heavy, because it is about, you know,
Nazis. I don't mind the heaviness so much.
But it's good, right?
Yeah. It's so good.
It's good. All right, so we're in agreement on that
one. It's one of those movies that I want to watch again. Like, it's been a couple years since I've seen it. I could use a rewatch.
Oh, well, there you go. Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. It's on the Netflix. You can pull it up right there. Flame and Citrone. With starring one of the guys. I think it's Citrone. Citrone's
the yes.
Mads Mikkelsen, the guy who was the bleeding eye guy from Casino Royale.
Correct. Yeah.
And the one-eyed mutant, Valhalla Rising.
Yes.
He disembowels a guy with his bare hands. Crazy movie. Flame and Citrone, there you go. Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. You can check that pick out. And you can see all my other picks at chriscrespo.com. All right, well, let's go ahead and get into the box office results for the weekend. Drew, what do you got there, buddy?
All right. Well, at number 6 this week, we have Dark Skies, also known as Dark Skies, with it made $8.85 million on a budget of $3.5 million.
Can't go wrong with that on a $3.5 million budget.
Man, cheap sci-fi thrillers, yeah, they're a dime a dozen,
right?
Or maybe $3.5 million a dozen.
Yeah, I have a feeling if the budget got any lower, it'd be like a sci-fi original.
Yeah, you know, definitely.
Dark Skies. Dark Skies. This one with Carrie Russell from Felicity,
and they go skiing, right? And they have black skis that they wear, right?
And it's
dark.
And it's black snow.
Dark. Oh, black snow.
And then there's no. And then they ski at night.
Yes.
It's about a family who, like, something's happening to them and they're scared, and I guess it's an alien abduction. I don't know. That's in the trailer. Aliens. I didn't see it. Didn't look that good.
The dude from the reviews aren't that good. Oh man, what is it? The Allstate commercials? Is it Allstate? No, Farmers. We are Farmers. Yeah.
Right.
That dude. He plays some crazy dude in the movie.
Why am I blanking on his name? That guy is awesome.
I know he is awesome, and I'm so surprised that he's doing the Farmers Insurance now.
Well, you gotta get paid.
I mean, although those are some of my favorite commercials on
gotta
TV.
Get paid. He was in all the Spider-Man movies, the original, first three.
J. Jonah.
It was J. Jonah. J. K. Simmons. J. K. Simmons. That's his name. J. K. Simmons. He's a great actor.
He is.
He's a great actor. Yeah, he's gotta get paid. That's why he does the insurance commercials. Same reason Dennis Haysbert does the Allstate ones.
That voice is so good. He should do documentaries. He should narrate documentaries with that voice.
You should just narrate more stuff?
Yeah.
Throw the guy some money to narrate more stuff, people. People who have money to pay for things like that.
I mean, Forrest Whitaker got into the game.
Yeah. Well, Forrest Whitaker does it all. He directs. He writes.
He narrates.
He directed First Daughter, the movie in which Katie Holmes plays the president's daughter. Yeah, I can't explain that one either. I didn't see Dark Skies. Did you see it?
No.
All right. What's number five?
All right, number five, A Good Day to Die Hard, which made another $10 million for a total gross of $51.8 on a budget of $92. So I hate this movie. Let's move on.
It's a stinker. Domestically speaking, $51.8 isn't very good. They're not going to be happy with that.
That's awesome. It's a garbage movie.
Internationally, it's already made $132 million. So it's at $184 million worldwide.
So even the international people love this garbage movie.
They love it. Well, I don't know if they love it, but they're turning out for it. They're going to make sure that it's profitable, and they're going to make sure that people are going to research how far they can take Die Hard 6. For sure. Yep. There you go.
Terrible. All right. Number four this week, we have Safe Haven, which had a weekend gross of $10.6 million for a total gross of $48 on a budget of $28.
Not bad.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Not bad.
$48 million, not bad.
Not bad for a romantic Nicholas Sparks type movie, The Notebook, all that stuff.
Yeah, the ladies love it.
Not really a romantic comedy because there's not that much comedy.
No, romantic drama.
It'd be a romantic drama. It's a rom-drom. That's why I think of rom-droms. I haven't seen it. Did you see it?
No.
All right, well, then let's move on.
All right. Number three this week, we have Escape from Planet Earth, which had a weekend gross of $11 million for a total gross of $35.2 on a budget of $40.
Again, Escape from Planet Earth. I wish this was a John Carpenter movie about old Snake Plissken
but it's
trying to get off
not.
The an Earth prison planet.
Yeah,
some
no,
sort.
It's animated. It's is it DreamWorks?
Actually, no, that's the thing. It's a complete independent.
Oh, Hoodwinked People.
Yes, the Hoodwinked People.
Okay, so it's them aliens stuck on Earth. They're trying to
right.
Escape.
They raised the money their own way, and then the Weinstein Company came in to do distribution. So they paid a little bit of money to pick it up and distribute it. $35 million. It's gonna end up making like 60 or 70. They might make a couple of bucks for them.
I really wish this was John Carpenter's Escape from Planet.
Right? Wouldn't that be cool?
It really would.
Wouldn't that
I'd
be cool,
a happier
man?
Person.
John Carpenter these days is way too busy playing video games. Cashing in checks for all the remakes, bad remakes of his movies.
Oh, yeah.
And smoking pot. That's all he does.
That's awesome. Maybe I'll see him on Xbox Live and tell him to make a new Escape From movie.
And he'd be like, yeah, man. Yeah, whatever.
And then he'll never do it.
And he'll never do it because he's...
Burnout.
He's a burnout.
Goddamn burnouts.
Yes, he is a burnout. All right, number two movie.
All right, number two this week, we have Snitch, which had a weekend gross of $13 million on a budget of...
I don't know.
Yeah, neither do I.
I couldn't find that info nowhere.
All right. Well, apparently it didn't cost any money to make, so it's all profit. Go The Rock.
Imagine that. This is the first of four Dwayne Johnson movies to come out over the course of the next 4 or 5 months.
Did you see Snitch?
I did.
And?
It's good.
I don't like the way you said that.
It's good. It's like sort of a thriller. They try to market it as an action movie, but it's more of just a thriller.
Okay.
Almost like something you'd see on TV, like an extended episode of some sort of crime drama, like a TV show crime drama. Dwayne Johnson, like his son, Dwayne Johnson plays a dude who he has his own trucker company. He's a successful businessman, but casualty of his success was that he fell out with his first wife and his son. So he's divorced. Now he has a new wife, a new kid. He's estranged from his son. His son hates him, all this stuff. Movie starts with his son getting pinched for accepting a package that was all like a bunch of ecstasy pills.
Uh-huh.
It was all A college friend sent to him. Was like, please accept this for me. that got him arrested by the feds, and then he was facing a 10-year mandatory sentence. This movie's all about
mandatory minimum laws.
I hate them. It's all about federal mandatory minimum laws and about how these laws ensnare a lot of first-time nonviolent offenders.
Oh, yeah.
And then put them in prison, you know, permanently.
And then turn them into violent offenders.
And turn them into bad people because it's just a horrible environment. Then this kid becomes part of, you know, they're like, hey, listen, well, it's a 10-year mandatory sentence, but we'll get you out in 6 months if you flip and snitch on someone.
Oh, that could get you killed real quick.
That could get you killed. And then this kid in his situation, the way he got there is just like a bad, like one or two bad mistakes, running with the wrong people. He had no one to flip on. Like, the one person he could flip on was already in jail.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'm screwed. I have nothing. So that's what makes his dad, The Rock, yes, like, all right, he goes in with the DA, played by Susan Sarandon. He's like, what if I arrest someone? Or I help you get some sort of arrest? And he goes for, like, a small-time crook, and then it kind of gets out of control. And it's good. Dwayne Johnson is great. He's great.
Well, of course he is.
I really, really like him. He's really easy to watch in a movie. And this is kind of his most compelling film because he's a stepdad with like issues about raising his kids, and he feels bad about it. And it's interesting, you know, what he does and some of the choices that he makes. But then it's also kind of weird how this dude, he runs a trucker company. He's supposed to be a trucker that made it good and turned his trucking truckership into like a big old company or whatever, whatever. No one notes at any point in the movie. Does no one note the fact that this dude is like a hulking 6'5", 260-pound beast of a man?
Yeah, yeah.
Like he's just a normal everyday guy.
He's just a cool trucker.
It's like an '80s or more like a '90s Schwarzenegger movie where we're supposed to believe that Schwarzenegger is plays a normal dad.
Yeah, yeah.
And no one else notices that he's a huge Austrian bodybuilder.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just a normal
soccer
dad. Yeah, right. Yeah. True Lies. Right. Yeah. Oh yeah. I can't believe he's a super spy. Why not? He's a gigantic monster.
He's Arnold Schwarzenegger. Come on.
So the same thing with Dwayne Johnson. It's like, I was always expecting him at any point in the movie. I was expecting him to like have to get out of it with fisticuffs and all of a sudden do some wrestling moves, get someone to rock bottom people's elbow or whatever. No, but actually at one point he gets jumped by like four dudes that are all half his size. They kick his ass.
Of course.
Leave him on the ground bleeding. And then the only other action in the movie is like some vehicular action. And some like guns and stuff. So they never really take advantage of The Rock's stature and size, but they do use his charisma and his acting chops, which he does have some.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so
he's really good in The Rundown.
He is, and The Rundown's a good movie.
I was old till I saw it on TV recently.
Oh yeah, well,
now
it's like
so young.
It's like 11, 12 years old at this point. The Rundown. Yeah, yeah. But Snitch is good. It's good. I would say it's like a Redbox type of deal. You know. I wouldn't necessarily run out
to see
really
it in the
theater.
Is it really?
It's,
is it good?
It's better than I expected it to be, for sure. I was not bored. I definitely wasn't bored. I was pretty compelled by the story, what was going to happen next.
Right.
And I enjoyed watching Dwayne Johnson. I really did. The Rock.
Awesome.
And then after this, he has Pain and Gain coming out, the Michael Bay movie with Mark Wahlberg.
Yep.
He's got G.I. Joe 2 coming out. And he's got the Fast and Furious 6.
Yeah.
So it's the year of The Rock. Last year was the year of the Tatum.
Go Dwayne.
This year is the year of the Dwayne. Yeah, so I'd say it's a Redbox movie. It's actually, you know, if you see it on Redbox, something like that, it's not a bad way to spend almost 2 hours.
All right.
You know.
Word.
So, yeah. Snitch. That's my review of Snitch. And then what's it didn't? It wasn't number one, though.
All right, no, number one this week, Identity Thief, with a weekend gross of $14 million for a total of 93.7 on a budget of 35.
Man, that's good.
Yeah, for a comedy good. Starring, I mean, it's Bateman and that the fat chick.
And the fat chick from The Bridesmaids.
Yeah.
What is it? It's only its second week out, right? Third week out.
Numero tres.
That's not bad. 3 weeks, it's almost at $100 million. So that'll be, if I'm not mistaken, that will be the first $100 million film, domestically speaking, for the year. I guess kind of... Well, actually, it's kind of early to get one already at $100 million.
Well, is it?
March. March is right around the corner. Usually March is when we get our first couple $100 million films. It's surprising that it's an R-rated comedy that got it there. Not really a bankable genre, I guess you can say. But hey,
that surprises me so much.
The power of the Bateman and the McCarthy, I guess?
I don't know.
I don't know. I really can't.
I didn't see it. I couldn't tell you.
Because, I mean, it's getting bad reviews. I didn't think it was that horrible, but I'm surprised it's making.
Well, we do know people like crap.
And there really aren't any other comedies out there.
Yeah, true that.
So that's helping it just a little bit. That's one where I'm like, you know, wait for it to be on TBS or HBO or something like that. You know, that's why I say go see Identity. Or don't go see it. Like, just wait for it to maybe happen. Come across it. Wait for it to happen. Like, oh, okay, I'll watch this. You know, it is what it is. It's whatever. All right, well, box office review over with. Let's talk about the new movies coming out this week. Got a lot of movies coming out on DVD. The big one. Big movie coming out on Tuesday. Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 2. Part 2 on DVD and Blu-ray.
Well, wait, but that's the last one, right? It's over?
That is the last one. It's over.
It's over?
For now.
So, that's so fantastic.
Until they do prequels or remakes or sidequels or whatever.
It's over. I'm just happy that it's finally over.
It pretty much is over for now. Yep. That's on DVD on Tuesday. And actually, I want to see the last 20 minutes of this movie.
Why, is that with the crazy baby?
No, apparently there's this crazy, like, action scene at the end where both sides, like, they're facing off in a big area.
Are they all shimmering and glittering together?
No. Apparently there's a lot of beheadings going on.
Ooh.
And, yeah, it gets pretty out of control.
I like beheadings, especially when there are people I don't like.
Yeah, so I might want
to watch.
Just might want to see the ending of it. Chasing Mavericks comes out on DVD.
Why does that sound familiar?
It's a movie that came out around, like, I think December. Gerard Butler, it was a surfer, and some kid was like, I need a dad. Oh, but this surfer guy, he looks like a mentor.
Yeah, Gerard Butler is a surfer.
And then they're surfing on Maverick waves, which are these gigantic waves somewhere in the world at a certain time of the year.
And apparently they're chasing them.
Rise of the Guardians is an animated film from last year. It's the one with... some story about the Easter Bunny, Santa Claus.
Yeah, yeah, they're all like superheroes.
And the Sandman, yeah, they're all superheroes and they team up together. It's actually got some pretty good reviews. People like it.
Well, now that it's out on DVD, maybe it'll be on the Redbox. I'll check it out.
Now it's out on the DVD, so there you go. It might be worth checking out. What else? Holy Motors. Holy Motors.
Oh.
Crazy French film.
I heard about that.
Insane French film.
Yes, you and Maddie J went to go see that.
Yes, Maddie J, friend of the show, Crespo Diso, rocket scientist, Maddie J. We went and saw it together. We both enjoyed it quite a bit. That's a crazy movie. That's coming out on Tuesday. Can definitely recommend that one. There's a French film coming out called The Untouchables.
Is it anything like the American Untouchables?
Absolutely not. It's much more like Driving Miss Daisy. It's like driving Monsieur Daisy.
Madame Daisy.
Monsieur Daisy. Because it's
Monsieur?
About a guy. It's
about,
a, about,
a, okay, sure,
it's
right.
about a guy. It's about a guy. It's about a guy, an older white fella, French guy, who he needs like a healthcare aid of some sort. I don't know why, but he chooses some Senegalese fella.
Okay.
Right? So then it's all about how this old, rich, paraplegic white guy and his young, like, black... Like, I don't give a shit, healthcare worker, how at first they don't get along, but they do get along. And the reason I'm bringing this movie up is because it's a French film that was a worldwide hit last year. It made, like, over $300 million outside of France. And then in France was already, like, their highest grossing film of all time, blah, blah, blah. So for the French last year, Untouchables is, like, the biggest thing.
That ever happened. Yeah,
that happened to them, yeah. And I, you know, it's supposed to be pretty good. When it played here, it actually played here for quite a while. It played at Winter Park for a few months, then it went away, then it came back. I just never got around to seeing it. They played at the Florida Film Festival, but you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I saw Driving Miss Daisy. I get it. Oh, and this movie, The Master, comes out on TV.
Oh, man, I totally missed that in theaters. Very much looking forward to seeing that.
Paul Thomas Anderson's The Master. When you talk about Oscar snubs, we'll be talking about Oscars later. Not snubs.
Oh, talking about Oscar snubs.
Anything snubby-wise, though. He was nominated. The Master was not nominated for Best Picture. He was nominated for Director.
Gee, I wonder why. Maybe because they put Scientology in a link. Badly.
I just think it's
light.
Because... I don't even think it's that. I think it's because... It's a tenuous link at best, actually. I think it's just because it's such a difficult movie. It's like post OK Computer Radiohead, where P.T. Anderson's doing what he wants and
screw everybody else.
Screw everyone else. He's trying to rewrite the language of film and what a story means. And to a lot of people hate it. Find it extremely pretentious.
Sounds awesome to me. Well, so what if it's pretentious? Yeah. It's art. Come on.
Well, sometimes art comes with a hint of pretension.
Is it the entire idea of art kind of pretentious?
Some hyper pretension. I have hyper pretension. Yeah, sort of. In some ways, some art. Most art. Good art. Not necessarily just good art. But yeah, the master is crazy art. I'll put that on their list of the category of crazy art right now. I'm definitely looking forward to watching that one again. So there you go. All your movies come out on DVD. What's come out in theaters this weekend?
Coming out in theaters this weekend, we have Jack the Giant Slayer.
Yo, that looks pretty awful.
Yes, it does. What? It's the Beast from the X-Men reboot.
Nicholas Hoot.
And he was the zombie in...
Warm Bodies.
Yeah. And now apparently he is slaying giants.
Slaying giants
sorts.
For Bryan Singer, director of X-Men, X-Men 2, Apt Pupil... Universal Usual Suspects. At one point in time, Bryan Singer was a good director.
Not so much anymore.
Lately, ever since Superman Returns, it has been downhill.
Yeah.
We'll see. Maybe he'll get his mojo back with the X-Men Days of Future Past.
Yeah, well, I swear, if they butcher another one of my favorite X-Men I'm going to be so angry.
Don't worry about that. Of course they'll butcher.
I know they will.
In the meantime, they're going to butcher this Jack and the Beanstalk. And you know Jack and Beanstalk has a sequel? Jack the Giant Slayer?
Oh, really?
Sequel to Jack and the Beanstalk?
No.
It does have a literary
that
sequel.
That I did not know.
I believe, yes, it does. And this movie is like a mix of the two with Ewan McGregor.
Okay.
It looks so bad. What else you got? What else is coming
up? Also coming up this week, 21 and Over.
21 and Over, some comedy about a kid who turns 21.
And gets wasted.
And he gets wasted. Next.
All right, also coming out this week, The Last Exorcism Part 2.
Did you ever see The Last Exorcism?
Nope, don't care about crappy horror movies.
Do you remember which one that even was?
Nope.
It was the found footage exorcism movie about a priest. He was like, this is going to be my last exorcism. And he has a documentary crew with him to, because he's showing them how it's all a sham.
So
he's showing them all the tricks. Like, this is what I do to make it look like a real exorcism. And he's like, come with me. I'm going to go on one last trip to show you
and
how
it ends up
fake
being
it.
Real.
And then it ends up being real. But then it ends up being something else completely different at the very end anyway.
Okay, if you say so.
It does. It's more, it actually goes away from exorcism and goes more into like witchcraft and culty type stuff.
Okay.
But I'm talking literally like in the last 3 minutes of the movie.
Nice.
It's really weird.
Plot twist.
And then I thought, well, if they're doing a sequel, maybe they'll pick up right where they left off. But no, they pick up like 6 months later.
Sweet.
Where a girl like wakes up, she doesn't remember what happened, and she moves somewhere else, and she's trying to start a life over or something.
But there's still something inside her.
Right. Or something chasing her or something. And it's not found footage. This one, they're going...
Real movie type?
Real movie. Real movie style. Last horror film to do that, Blair Witch Project. They did a sequel to that, Blair Witch Project 2. Book of Shadows. Yes, they did. Oh, my
goodness.
Worst
idea ever.
And it was a meta sequel where... It was a sequel where the Blair Witch Project, quote, documentary, like real documentary, actually existed. And these people were real, and the forest was real.
But it's not.
You know, but to the characters in the movie.
Okay.
And to the characters in the sequel, the first movie is like an actual documentary. Very, very meta. Very stupid. I don't know about this one. It's weird that they made a sequel to it. I didn't even think the first one was all that successful, but yeah. Don't make a sequel to anything.
Anything these days, yeah.
Anything else?
Also coming up this week, Stoker.
Stoker. Do you have a description there for
After India's father dies, her uncle Charlie, whom she never knew existed, comes to live with her and her unstable mother, played by Nicole Kidman. She comes to suspect this mysterious, charming man has ulterior motives and becomes increasingly infatuated with him.
Interesting. So we're looking at Nicole Kidman's mom.
Yep. Uncle Charlie is Ozymandias.
Matthew Good.
From
Watchmen. Yep. And Mia Wasikowska.
Yeah, whatever. It's directed by one of my favorite Asian dudes, Chan-wook Park.
Chan-wook Park, South Korean director of the Vengeance trilogy, Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance, Old Boy, and Sympathy for Lady Vengeance. Also did other movies, like he did a section of the Three Extremes, the original Three Extremes, It's a crazy horror anthology. Thirst. The crazy vampire movie Thirst.
Yes, that was crazy.
Stoker is his first English language film.
It's probably going to be really weird.
The trailer looks pretty intense. It looks like a Chadwick Park film. It looks like it makes a family drama, a little bit of horror. Yeah, some erotica, a little bit of, you know, I don't want to say action, but it looks like it gets intense.
Yeah, well,
you know?
I mean, not necessarily action, but violence.
Yes, violent. Yes.
Yes, not necessarily action, but violence.
This dude gets violent.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'm actually really, really looking forward to that.
If anything directed by Chan-wook Park, I will go see.
Chan-wook Park. And, you know, it doesn't say there. I couldn't find out. Hopefully, it won't just be a limited release this weekend. It probably will, though. It'll probably just be in a few cities and it'll expand slowly. So we're going to have to wait. We're going to have to wait our turn, most likely. But as soon as we
go see
it.
I want it now. I want it tomorrow.
Oh, well, that'd be nice. Yeah, but ain't happening. It happened for at least a week, maybe longer. Well, yeah,
I'm down
for Stoker. So that's everything for...
Makes me angry.
That's everything's coming out, right? All the new stuff?
Yeah, everything we care about.
All right, well, hey, let's take a quick break. I need a refresh in my beer.
Most definitely.
So first we'll take a step into the Crespo Disco. So I'm going to play a little track here. It's from a movie soundtrack. It's an actual song from a movie soundtrack. If you want to listen to the song, you know, and think about where you might be from, take a guess. When we come back from the break, I'll let you know what the song is and what movie it's from. In the meantime, hey, don't forget to check out chriscrespo.com. A lot of cool stuff up there. And real plugs real quick. Twitter, @ Crespo Diso.
@ Antihero419.
@ Antihero419. And all right, guys. So refreshing your drinks. We're going to freshen ours. We'll be back in a few minutes and enjoy the song.
With a lot on my mind, and I'm looking for me a woman, but she's mighty hard to find. Lord, it's my country cousin, check the hottest spots in town. Oh, that little bitty woman, well, she just ain't around. Hey, hey, oh, I'm looking, catch it high and low. Just a little bitty woman, how much you'll never know.
Welcome back. to Cinema Crespo Disso. That was the Crespo Disco. Did you recognize that song out there? Did you know where it was from? What's your guess, people listening? Hold on, Drew. Let's listen. Let's hear what their guesses are. You're all wrong. Well, no, wait. That one guy was right. That one guy was right. That was from Kill Bill Volume 1. It's a guy called Charlie Feathers. Love that name.
Oh, that's a good one.
My name is Charlie Feathers. It's from Kill Bill Volume 1. The name of that song is That Certain Female. It's the song when Michael Parks, the sheriff character, is pulling up to the church after everyone's all shot up and dead.
Yeah.
Kind of a crazy movie, that Kill Bill.
Just a little bit.
And, of course, the typical awesome Tarantino soundtrack. So there you go. That was the Crespo Disco. Hope you enjoyed that one. It's some quick maintenance real quick before we go into the Crespo Dome. Again, chriscrespo.com, reviews, all sorts of stuff at the website. If you're interested in the fantasy baseball league I'm doing, Baseball Crespo Disso, don't roll your eyes at me, Drew. This is for me, man. I love baseball. I love fantasy baseball.
I've seen you do fantasy baseball, and it's intense.
It's intense.
Like an everyday thing.
It's intense. You know fantasy football, so you have something to compare it to.
Yeah.
We'll do a fantasy football league, too.
I can't wait for that. I'm very interested in that one.
But I need people right now for the Baseball Crespo Disso, so let me know. You can get me at Twitter, at Crespo Disso, or at Movie Examiner. Now I have two Twitter. I got to figure out what I'm going to do with that. Or cinemacrespodisso@gmail.com. So many ways.
They can find you on the Facebook, too.
FB.com/cinemacrespodisso. Did you know you can do that, Drew?
Really?
FB.com?
Is that like the O.co? We can shorten it.
What?
Overstock.com.
Can you really?
Yeah,
just you can do O.co.
O.co, and it comes up.
I did not know that.
Yeah, dude, that was on the commercial like a year and a half ago.
Great. That's...
I hate when you say that.
Cray.
I hate it.
That's cray cray.
I hate it so much.
All right. Well, and then also iTunes. We're on iTunes.
Oh, we are totally on iTunes.
So get us on iTunes. Subscribe.
I don't know how we got on iTunes, but we did.
No, because I worked at Magic. The Crespo Disso Magique.
So Magique.
Go to iTunes. Subscribe to us. Rate the show 5 stars. Leave us a nice review. Be cool. Be cool people and do cool things for us. Because we're trying to be cool and do cool things for you. Right?
Yeah. I mean, we
that don't make sense.
We give out free stickers.
Cool circle.
Free podcast.
We've given out free stickers. Oh, but that reminds me. Thank you, Drew. If you want some free stickers, because we have stickers to give out. If you want to get in on that, or if you're already on the street team and you need to re up on the stickers, you gotta let us know when you want to re up. I mean, we're not mind. I am Crespo Domus, but my mind reading capabilities only go so far. So hit us up on the many ways you can hit us up. Let us know you want some stickers, and we'll make some. They're free. All you gotta do is slap them around town. Or wherever you are. We got stickers in New York City, Philadelphia, all over the world. So you can get it on that, be part of the street team, guerrilla marketing style. And I think that's everything. Drew, what are you on Twitter again?
At antihero419.
You should tweet him, people. No, follow him, tweet him.
I disagree.
He loves it.
No, I don't.
He secretly loves it. All right, well, let's get into the Crespo Dome. Let's get this started. We got all sorts of things going for the Crespo Dome tonight. First off, Oscars. Oscars are tonight. They're starting in about half an hour, 40 minutes or so.
Very nice.
So looking forward to watching that. We got our ballots. If you want to know what our picks are, we have the bonus episode we just did a few days ago.
Yes, we do.
So you can go ahead and download that, listen to that. If you haven't listened to that, maybe stop listening to this, go back, listen to that, and then come back here. You know, that's what pause buttons are for and all that stuff. You know what I'm saying, right, Drew?
Technology's amazing.
Technology's incredible. So check out our Oscar picks if you haven't already, and then we'll recap all the Oscar stuff next week in episode 8 next weekend. But I do have some Oscar fun facts here, Drew.
Fun facts.
You want to take your stab at some of these facts?
Yeah, maybe, sure, why not?
See maybe if you can, take a swing in the dirt. You might hit something.
Yeah, maybe.
All right.
Or not.
I actually have 10 different things here.
Okay.
Some of them are pretty interesting. Can you name any one of the three films that that lead the pack for most Oscar wins? There are three movies throughout history that have won 11 Oscars total. Can you name one of them?
Titanic.
Yes. Good job. Titanic is one of the three. You want to go for another one? There's one that you've seen it in theaters. It's one that you liked. I'm sure you remember the experience of going to see it. You talked about it.
No.
Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
Ah, that was an amazing movie.
Return of the King actually went 11 for 11.
Really?
It's the only movie it's ever to be nominated for that many awards and just win them all.
I think I remember that for some reason.
The other film was Ben-Hur. So Ben-Hur, Titanic, and Return of the King all won 11 awards. Yep. Okay, let's see here. What do we got? The longest Best Picture winner ever. What do you think that was?
Return of the King.
No.
Was a movie longer than that?
There was a film longer than that won Best Picture. I'll give you a hint. You got to go back. Think old school, classic, old revered film.
Godfather Part 2.
No, even older. Mucho older. Gone with the Wind.
Ooh, how really that movie is that long?
Gone with the Wind. You want to take a guess how long it is in minutes?
No idea.
234 minutes. Gone with the Wind is an epic movie.
That is arduous.
One Best Picture. I think that was 38 or 39, same year.
I had no idea. Wizard of Oz came out. Anywhere near that long.
Yeah, very, very long. Who is the youngest winner ever? Because, you know, Kwabenge Wallace is nominated for actress.
Yeah, she's the youngest nominee.
She's the youngest nominee. She made the film when she was 6. She's now 9. But who is the youngest winner ever for Academy Award? Any idea? Drew's thinking.
I got nothing.
He's got nothing. You would never have gotten this. Tatum O'Neill. Tatum O'Neill was 10 years old when she won for Paper Moon in 1970. Ryan O'Neill's daughter.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Can you name the only sequel to ever win?
Godfather Part 2.
Best Picture, Godfather Part 2. Very good. So there you go. Hey, that's one. So you got you're getting a couple. You got the Titanic and the Godfather. You're doing all right. You actually got 2 out of 4. You're doing pretty good. Ooh, can you think of this one? The only X-rated film to ever win Best Picture. And I'll even tell you, it's in the 70s. This movie
came out. No, I got nothing.
Midnight Cowboy with Dustin Hoffman and John Voight. There's a decent amount of nudity in there.
I don't think I've seen it.
Oh, really?
No.
I'm crossing here, that one. I'm crossing here. That's where that comes from. Dustin Hoffman's crossing the street. And for real, like a taxi, because they shot it in New York City in the 70s. And they were filming Hoffman and Voight crossing the street. And a taxi, like, almost takes him out, like, pulls into the shot, and Hoffman slaps the hood. He's like, hey, I'm walking here. He does that. You know, he just improvs that, and it becomes one of the most memorable lines ever. Crazy how it happens. Nice. Only X-rated film to ever win Midnight Cowboy. It's a good movie. Let's see. Oh, can you name the country with the most best foreign film wins?
France.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Give me one more shot.
Spain.
Nope, I'm sorry. It's Italy. Italia.
I guess that makes sense.
Can you name...
Back in the day, they were really into movies.
Yeah, 50s, 60s, with the Fellini days.
Yeah.
What was this one? The winner of most Oscars in a lifetime. What person won the most Oscars... in a lifetime?
Is it a he or a she?
It's a he. It's a he. It's a name you know. It's a name everyone knows. It's a name everybody knows.
Nope.
Walt Disney.
Oh.
Yeah, for all the animated stuff. Walt Disney was actually at one point nominated for... some sort of award 22 years in a row.
Wow.
Walt Disney was nominated 59 times and won 32 of them. 32 Oscar wins for Walt Disney. The dude himself. That's pretty crazy.
That's mind blowing.
That's crazy. Okay, I got a few more here. Alfred Hitchcock. Legendary. Mm-hmm. Legendary director. Alfred Hitchcock made films for decades. Was nominated. 5 of his movies were nominated for Best Picture. Rebecca, Lifeboat, Spellbound, Rear Window, and Psycho. Of those 5, how many won Best Picture?
Trick question, 0.
That's correct.
Yes.
Alfred Hitchcock has never won a Best Director or Best Picture award.
I knew it.
They ended up giving him like a lifetime, one of those bullshit lifetime awards.
I don't know why, but I figured that was the way it was going.
He's one of those guys. It's him and like Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah.
Which, you know, those two examples right there shows you why awards for artists are bullshit.
Yeah.
Okay, I got two more here. When was the first color telecast of the Oscars?
Oh,
now we're talking about the history of color television. The first color telecast of the Oscars.
59.
No, 1966.
Ooh.
66. And here we go. This is probably one of my most favorite Oscar facts ever. Okay. There have only been three people nominated for Best Screenplay and Best Actor for the same project. It's happened three times in history in 84 years. Best Writing and Best Acting. I'm going to go ahead and give you two of the three names. All right. Orson Welles and Charlie Chaplin. Okay, those two guys were nominated for Best Writing and Best Acting the same year for the same project. Can you name the third person?
No, I can't.
It's from the 70s, 76 Best Oscar winner for
Robert
Best Picture.
Richard.
No. It won for Best Picture, but he did not win. This guy, he was nominated but did not win either award, I don't think. Although the movie won Best Picture. Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, really?
One for writing the screenplay for Rocky.
Yeah.
And for the portrayal of Rocky. We didn't win. He was nominated for both.
Okay.
So it's Orson Welles, Charlie Chaplin, and Sylvester Stallone.
That is an odd trio.
Rarefied air up there, those three, gotta say. So if anyone ever gives, trying to give Stallone shit for, you know, lack of talent, he's gonna always point to that one movie and be like, hey.
Hey, are you Adrian?
Hey, that's why I do. You know, so on the opposite of the Oscars, there are the Razzies.
Yeah, always fun.
They just nominated that. That was last night, I believe. So do you want to take a guess at what film from last year almost swept the Razzies and won a boatload of categories?
I don't know.
If you can call it winning.
Tell me.
We already mentioned the movie. In the show.
I'm sure.
We mentioned it earlier.
I'm sure we did.
You don't even want to know?
No.
Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2.
Oh, thank the Lord.
Kay Stu won for Worst Actress. She got Worst Actress. Tyler Lautner got Worst Supporting Actor.
He's terrible.
Worst Screen Couple with, like, the kid who we're supposed to be a couple with.
Oh, wait, there's a vampire kid?
Yeah, Kay Stu's kid.
That's kind of creepy.
It is creepy. It's very creepy. And Worst Screen Ensemble.
Awesome.
For everyone. And Bill Condon got Worst Director.
Sweet.
Rounding out the night, Adam Sandler got Worst Screenplay for That's My Boy.
Oh, I heard that was a flop.
And getting Worst Supporting Actress for Battleship was
Rihanna.
Riri herself.
Oh, man. I caught Battleship on the HBO, and it is an abortion of a movie.
It's bad.
Yeah, it's really terrible.
It's bad. The Razzies are, you know, they're kind of cute. They've been around since 1980, but they haven't always gotten it right.
Oh, this time they totally did.
Well, this time they did, but, I mean, hindsight is 2020,
of course.
You know. But, like, their first year, 1980, they nominated Stanley Kubrick for Worst Director for The Shining.
Are you serious?
Oh, and also Brian De Palma, Worst Director for Dress to Kill, which is a fantastic film.
Yeah.
So... That's just the first year. So they made mistakes like that throughout time. It's a pretty stupid thing. I don't even know why they do it. But hey, people dig it.
Why? Because there are some terrible movies out there. Well,
last year, Adam Sandler's Jack and Jill won, quote, won everything.
Yeah, well, once again, I hear it was a really terrible movie.
Yeah, I'll never see it. I did see That's My Boy. It wasn't that awful. I wouldn't call it the worst.
If you say so.
I will say so. That's what I do. I say things, and then they become so, right?
Sure.
That's a Christmas dome. All right, so, Drew, this week you saw Taken 2, did you not?
Yes, I did,
sir.
Get rid
of this. We don't need this anymore. Taken 2 on DVD.
Yes. No, yeah, yes. Oh, got it on the red box.
What'd you think?
It was good. I mean, it was another Taken movie, except this time him and his wife get taken. And his daughter, they attempt to take his daughter, but she resists.
Maggie Grace.
There's lots of running on roofs.
Right.
And
throwing grenades.
Throwing grenades. I still want to know just how much secondary damage she caused with those grenades, because she was just on a roof and just lobbing grenades all willy-nilly.
And no one notices.
Yeah, no, and that's the oddest part. It's like, oh, there's a grenade just blew up in the middle of my neighborhood. Let's not call the police. Who knows? My child might be dead. It doesn't matter.
It would have been funny if they showed a grenade landing like in a sidewalk
room.
Cafe.
Yeah,
boom. Like, what? And it's just some stupid American girl.
Yeah, trying to find her daddy.
And he's like counting. He's like, one, two, three, boom.
Well, it's because he's Liam Neeson and he's really good at killing people.
He's got to do something badass. How about how it rips off Drive a couple times?
They definitely use a couple songs from the soundtrack. And also the whole part with the Chromatics Tick of the Clock with somebody waiting in the car with a 5-minute countdown.
Yeah, they both had the same motif with the same song.
Yeah, and Drive was an infinitely better movie.
Yeah, it just made me want to watch Drive.
Yeah.
That part.
You want to put on the jacket, listen to the soundtrack, and watch Drive.
It's like, I wish I was watching. That's...
pretty hardcore, I know.
Listen to the soundtrack and watch the movie.
Yeah, all at the same time.
Okay.
All while driving in my car.
So what did you think of Taken 2 overall, like end of the day, when it was all said and done?
Overall,
throwing grenades, ripping off Drive.
I mean, when it was all said and done, I mean, I could have seen it on the end of the man. I would have paid $8 to see it.
It was worth that?
I mean, another Taken movie. You know, I enjoyed if you enjoyed the first Taken movie, you will have no problems with the second one.
Yeah.
So
that's why I felt, because the first Taken movie I didn't think it was that great.
I thought they were both equal. They were both on par with each other.
Well, yeah, people like seemed to love the first one, and I was like, hey, it's all right. And then people hated the second one.
So
I was like,
see, I don't understand that. I find them both equally enjoyable.
They're pretty much the same. They're both European made, French action style, postmodern action movies with Liam Neeson being an old badass.
Which is awesome.
With the weird subplot. The first one has a weird subplot about daughter wanting to be a singer.
And
the second one has a weird subplot about her...
learning to drive.
Learning to drive. And she learns how to drive via car chase.
Yes.
Best part of the movie.
Yes.
Learning how to drive via car chase. All right, cool. You thought it was good.
Yeah.
You liked it.
Yeah, it was worth watching.
All right, very good. That's Drewster Cogburn's Taken 2 review. All right, well, I got a couple questions.
All right.
First we're going here. Let's see. Good old Billy D.
Ah, Billy D.
He's a little
loyal listener.
Pretty much every week. All right, I think you need to do the first one.
Okay.
Yeah, hold up. What do you guys think of Sir Ben's Iron Man 3 poster?
I've seen it already.
You've seen it? Yeah. Okay, good. I don't know how I feel about Sexy Kingsley in Ed Hardy mercenary wear eye raping me like a Persian at a nightclub. Wow.
Yeah, no, he totally is too. And he's got like these weird, like half-tinted glasses on, and
the way he's sitting
is kind of provocative. Now that I think about it,
yeah.
But I just figured he's being, you know, just kind of creepy and old.
He is kind of
creepy
and old.
But you know, not that Billy says it, he is kind of leery at me like a Persian in a nightclub.
And it is weird how his outfit is. Like, it's kind of a mix of old-timey, like, Asian.
Well,
he's
the
Mandarin.
Well,
right?
No, exactly. He's the Mandarin. He's supposed to be Asian. He's supposed to be
so
kind of old.
So it's an old-timey Asian getup, like full gown.
Yeah.
Silky getup. But it's also, like, camouflage.
Yeah, and kind of dirty.
Well, that could just be a weird Photoshop lighting, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was like, yeah.
In those weird half-shade glasses that he's wearing.
Ed Hardy mercenary wear is pretty fun.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny, Billy.
Billy D has got away with words. He always has.
Who do you think you are? Some sort of writer? Okay. Well, we both think it's kind of weird.
Yeah. It's kind of weird, but I like it.
And I'm really looking forward to the movie. I'm totally interested
to see Ben Kingsley Iron Man.
I like how in the trailer, apparently his character overpronounces all his ERs, his ERs. He's a terrorist, and there are no
he's a terrorist.
Heroes, and that's weird.
Heroes.
I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be fun.
Shane Black's Iron Man. All right, I got a question here. This one's from Twitter. Twitterer. What's Twitter?
I have
person.
No idea. One,
person.
One who twits.
At Eccentric Art, he asked, Tarantino directing a standalone Star Wars movie about a Boba Fett or Mace Windu. How interesting or stupid would that be? Tarantino doing a Star Wars movie.
Because
they're doing these standalone Star Wars movies.
No, I get it. I think Tarantino standalone movie with Boba Fett would be as violent as I was looking for, You know, there might actually be some blood in Star Wars for once, okay. As opposed to just, oh, I was hit by a laser,
right.
And now I'm falling down.
Right.
I mean, you know, that's all well and good, but it's kind of campy.
And it would, yeah, it wouldn't, his style doesn't fit the Star Wars universe.
No. I mean, I could see maybe, like, Boba Fett doing, like, maybe a one-mission bounty on, like, some sort of Western planet where he's using
on
actual
Tatooine.
Bullets. Yeah, on Tatooine, but for some reason, his lasers don't work, so he's got to use actual bullets that cause a lot of blood.
I guess, yeah, like Django
yeah.
Unchained style levels of blood and gore.
Yeah.
All while, like some crazy 70s
spaghetti
funk music
Western.
Is playing
yeah,
in the
yeah,
background.
Yeah. A Boba Fett spaghetti Western on Tatooine.
Throw in a little bit of Jim Croce.
I could see Tarantino doing something like
this
that.
This time around,
like I said,
James
sans
Taylor.
Lasers, though. Sans lasers.
Yeah, I can't see it, man.
And I don't want to see any Jedi either.
I can't see it at all, I got to tell you. I can't see a Tarantino Star Wars movie. First off, Tarantino, all his movies, it's like He calls from what he knows.
Like
all
I said,
the 70s style stuff.
Boba Fett could be a Western.
Yeah.
It could be a spaghetti Western.
That'd be so weird.
He's just a space bounty hunter. So now he's just a bounty hunter on Tatooine.
Tarantino's never done anything sci-fi tinge at all. In any
I think
way,
some. I think some would bring this idea to Tarantino's.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'm sure
he's had the idea. He's lobbied for. He's lobbied to do a James Bond movie.
Ooh,
he's
that would be
fun. He's had an idea
for
years for a James Bond film.
That would be fun.
That's one where the producers are like, no, we can't. They're well, very tight with the Bond franchise.
Well, yeah,
what they
it would
pre-
not be.
It.
It would be like the weird Bond movie.
It would
know?
Be. It'd be the weirdest.
It would be. Yeah. They would have to find like the actor that played Bond in that movie could not play Bond in any other movie.
It
would have to be like its own little standalone.
Tarantino's too singular. He needs to just do his own stuff.
Yeah.
But they're still, they are making these standalone Star Wars movies, so we're going to be getting them from someone.
Who knows who's going to do them?
Who knows? Who knows what darkness lies in the hearts of man?
The Shadow.
There you go, The Shadow. Very good. Or Alec Baldwin. I would have accepted your answer. All right, this question comes from Facebook. You know, I did want all questions to go to cinemacrestrelease@gmail.com to keep it easy. Don't you think it's pretty good?
Well, the people don't like making it easy on you, Chris.
They don't.
They like making you work.
So I'll jump around. I'm.
You'll jump through the hoops.
I'll jump through the hoops.
You'll do it.
To answer all your questions.
With a smile on your face.
When I don't know about that. Smile on the show logo. You can just look at that. Okay, I got a question here from Facebook. This one is from Hart, and it's a multi-part question, so listen closely. Why Les Mis, Silver Linings Playbook, and Zero Dark Thirty should not win Best Picture, but why they inevitably will? So that's a weird question. He wants us to talk about why each film will not win, but shouldn't win, but will win. Presupposing that all three will win somehow.
I have not seen any of those movies.
So I guess this one's up to me.
Yes.
All right, well, why? Okay, let's take one at a time. Why Les Mis should not win Best Picture, but will inevitably win? Why shouldn't it win Best Picture? Because it's not the Best Picture of the year. It's directed okay, you know, it had some really good acting. Of course, it's Les Mis. People love Les Mis. I thought it was okay. I thought it was good. Not a Best Picture type movie.
It's a musical.
Why it inevitably will win, it won't. It's not inevitable. Musicals don't win. The last musical to win was Chicago. 2002, was it true?
I think three.
2003? See, there you go. That's, yeah. Listen to the bonus episode Oscar picks for that reference to make any sense. And before that, the last musical to win was like, I don't know, 30, 40 years before that. I mean, it's ridiculous how not often a musical wins Best Picture. So that won't win at all. Silver Linings Playbook, why it should not win Best Picture. Why should Silver Linings Playbook? Because it's not the Best Picture of the year. That's why, personally. I mean, it's good. It's a romantic comedy about two bipolar people. One of them much older than the other one, but no one acknowledges that.
Who cares?
It's a movie. And then it turns into like a dance competition at the end. I don't know. It's weird.
Do people get served?
No one gets served. That's another reason why it should not win, because no one gets served. They have dancing, but no one gets served. Kind of ridiculous. Now that I think of that, thanks for pointing that out, Drew.
You're welcome.
I love David O. Russell. I love his movies, and I think Silver Linings Playbook is good, but I don't think it should win. Okay, but why will it inevitably win? If it does inevitably win, it's because Russell kind of does have like a bad boy image that he's been trying to clean up over the years, and he's made a few like more mainstream accessible movies, so it could be like the older establishment being like, hey, all right, we're now accepting you in the fold, you know, you're one of us, that type of BS. And it is, in the end, it is kind of a feel-good movie. People like that kind of crap. And it's commercially successful. We can't put that against it. So, actually, that is an outside shot of being kind of upset. But I don't think it would inevitably be successful. I can't say that it would be inevitable. And Zero Dark Thirty. Why should it not win Best Picture? Why should not Zero Dark Thirty? You gotta see this one. It's good.
I know.
It's good. But why should it not win? Maybe because Kathryn Bigelow won for her last war slanted movie, The Hurt Locker. She's on two in a row, which every time she makes a war movie, we're going to throw awards at her. You know, come on. It doesn't work that way. She's not Daniel Day-Lewis. She's not automatic, especially with that genre. It was a good movie, though. I actually think I like Zero Dark Thirty better than I like The Hurt Locker.
Ooh.
But I also didn't think that The Hurt Locker should have won that year. Yeah. That was like 2009.
I agree. I don't think The Hurt Locker should have won, but I kind of like the...
it's a great movie. I liked it.
But I just think it's funny that Kathryn Bigelow beat James Cameron.
Yeah, ex-husband James Cameron, yeah, who was nominated for Avatar, most successful movie of all time.
Exactly.
And then The Hurt Locker is actually... it only made $14 million at the box office, so that's actually the least commercially successful Best Picture winner ever.
Yep, and it's still won.
And she also, that made her the first woman to ever win Best Pictures.
Correct.
Bunch of reasons why that movie won. Not necessarily because the movie itself was the Best Picture.
No, but it was kind of funny the way it all worked out.
It was close enough for everyone to give it to her. For that year, for me, it was Inglourious Basterds. That was my favorite.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Go figure. Last year it was a Tarantino movie. This year it was a Tarantino movie.
Yeah, well, that was like 2 years ago. So Zero Dark Thirty. That's why it shouldn't win, because she just won. Why it will inevitably win? I don't think it will. I really don't think it will. See, the problem here is that Lincoln, for the longest time, was the big front runner, and then Argo has been winning all the awards for the last month. So it's really between Argo and Lincoln. So that's why none of those movies will inevitably win. But it's always fun to dream.
Yes.
Presuppose. Just a posit. We're not supposit. Deposit. Just
I don't
want
to deposit anything.
We're not suppositing nothing. I think that might bring us to the end of the show. That little. I think that supposits us to the end. To the end of the Crespo Dome.
That doesn't make any sense.
That's not
really
working.
We're suppositing things in the end of the Crespo Dome.
Oh, hi-yo.
Really?
I set him up. You gingerly
knock him
over.
I knock him down.
7-10 split. Yeah, that's it. We're done here. We got the Oscars starting soon. We got some other things to do. So we'll be back with all the Oscar results. We got our ballots. We're ready to go. I'm excited.
I want my cheeseburger dinner.
Cheeseburger dinner. If you want to know what that reference means, you got to listen to the last bonus episode, because there is a cheeseburger dinner on the line tonight, and it's going to be a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, actually, we'll see. We'll see who wins.
Oh, it better be a good one.
Oh, it'll be a good one. It'll be a good one. We never talked about sides. It's a whole dinner. That's why you said dinner. Just a cheeseburger is just a cheeseburger.
No,
a
cheeseburger dinner
comes with sides.
Yes.
Got that established ahead of time before the Oscars. It's very important. I hope you enjoy listening to the show. Remember, iTunes, please rate and review. That'd be awesome. That would mean a lot to us. Tell your friends. Tell people that you know, your relatives, and people that like movies, people that don't like movies.
Hey, I recruited two people today at work.
He recruited Drew. Drew's just telling people about the show left and right, bugging them, like giving them stickers, shoving them their hand, and being all like, listen to us, fool.
Be like, yo, man, we're on iTunes. Seriously, it's just that easy.
We're awesome. We are awesome. So, check us out. Drew is on Twitter at antihero419, right?
Yes, sir.
He loves Twitter.
I hate it.
Big fan of it.
Not so much.
He loves getting tweets from people.
I disagree.
So tweet him all the time.
Or never.
Day and night, because he will tweet you back.
Maybe.
I am at Movie Examiner. The show is at Crespediso, facebook.com/cinemacrespediso, or fb.com.
Oh, the old FB.
Instagram.com/cinemacrespediso.
Just Crespediso.
No, Cinema Crespediso. For the Instagram?
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
The only one that's only Crespediso is Twitter, because it wouldn't fit.
What is it?
It was one character short. It would have been at Cinema Crespo Disc.
Yes. that's been weird.
Stupid Twitter. Twitter got me one character short of uniformity along all the social media networking thingamabobs. ChrisCrespo.com got a review of Universal Soldier, Day of Reckoning up there, which we talked about last week, which is now on the Netflix Instant, too.
Hey!
Yeah, so I'm gonna rewatch that sucker.
Might as well.
Because it's a weird story that it's going to make more sense the second time around.
And it's better than Die Hard.
And it is much, much better than Die Hard, which is a worldwide hit. And on that very sad note, we're going to get out of here. That's the end of the show. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. Tell your friends. Tell your neighbors. And have a great day. Great night. It all depends on what time. See, that's the thing with when you download a show, people can be downloading it any time.
Day, night, mid-afternoon, evening. You never know.
We'll cover it all. Have a good rest of the day. Thanks for listening in the morning. That's for the morning people. Thanks for listening. It's lunchtime. Thanks for spending lunch with us, guys. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. All right, that's the lunch crowd.
Uh-huh.
What's after that?
Dinner.
Dinner time. Hey, it's dinner. Hope you enjoyed your dinner listening to the show. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Don't drink too much coffee before you go to bed. You have nightmares.
Late night
crowd. Thanks, guys, for listening to us. Hope we kept you entertained overnight. The sun's about to come up, so drive home safely from your overnight jobs in your warehouses and factories and whatnot. Is that everything? That's all of them?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay, guys, we got you all covered. We'll just cut that up and we'll use it in future shows. Thanks very much. Talk to you soon. Have a good day. Good afternoon. Good night.